Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate. Thank you for being part of my day. Bill Brandt is our guest. He's the Duke of Workouts Experts, and he's the president of DSI Development Specialists Incorporated. DSI.biz is his website. He's a longtime, more than 11-year member of our Brain Trust, and a pretty darn good policy political expert. We call on him many times to help us sort things out and to create some reason to give us, to provide some reason to all the mayhem that's going on. Bill, thanks again for hanging out with us. I really appreciate your time. Bill, as you know very well, and folks, if you hadn't thought about it lately, there was a law passed in the 30s called the Glass-Steagall Act. And there was a lot of laws in those days, Bill. The Securities Act of 33 and 34 really cleaned up the securities industry. Glass-Steagall really cleaned up the banking industry and really set aside some really strong policies that made banks behave, until that was basically neutered in the 90s. And correct me if I'm wrong, but what we got in 08 was the child, the illegitimate child of the neutering of Glass-Steagall back in the 90s. Am I right about that?
Yeah, you know, Glass-Steagall was one of the many improvements after the Depression in the 30s. And Glass-Steagall, for your listeners' purposes, was a simple rule that basically said, if you're a commercial bank who accepts deposit from deposit holders, you are prohibited from engaging in investment banking. In other words, you can't go out and risk your deposit holders' money in speculative investments. And for years, that's why investment banks were separate and regular commercial banks.
And especially when the guarantees came along, the FDIC guarantees came along, then you were potentially risking government money with your investments. And so it got strengthened that way. All right, go ahead.
Well, yes, except, you know, there's an insurance scheme for the FDIC, which was another product of the 30s. So I always get worried about the one about you can't take minors across state line, which I know got you and I in trouble.
The Mann Act. Yeah, right. We know that one well, don't we?
Well, it should have been. I always said it should have been titled the Woman Act, but that's another story entirely. So, but the Glass-Steagall issue, I remember walking out of a meeting in Florida with John Kerry, who's now the Secretary of State,
right,
then Senator from Massachusetts.
And when was this? What year was this?
I'm thinking this is 94, 95.
In the Clinton administration.
Okay, go ahead. And actually the former president will tell you he thinks that Glass-Steagall wasn't the cause of this, and I vehemently disagree.
Yeah.
The banks all got into speculative behavior. They, you know, they took a couple of years to figure out how they were going to do this and how they were going to form up as investment banking, but you're right. So here we have 2008, and I will admit to you, as you will admit to me, that Glass-Steagall was repealed, and so they were permitted to do this. But what astounds both you and I think, to this day, is that nobody has been put in the dock, as the English would say, having done this to us.
One person, even though, folks, as you've heard me report on the show before, while they were trying to get you to buy some lousy mortgage-backed security, they were selling the stuff out of the back door.
And there were conversations and emails, as you know.
And leveraging 70-1, Bill.
There were conversations and emails where they were virtually laughing at the customers they were selling this product.
Yes.
They knew what they were doing.
Yes.
And nobody's been called to account.
Not one person has gone to jail. And, you know, there was a conversation, Bill, where the Attorney General, the one we have right now, said that some of these people were too big to jail, because if we jailed some of these guys, it would cause a financial problem. There was a conversation somewhere, because I've heard this from some people that I trust, that he actually said they're too big to jail. Not in those terms, not in those words, but that was the essence of what he meant.
Well, I mean, look, nobody is either too big to jail, and nothing is too big to fail, as you and I both know. And this idea that things have become too big to fail, and therefore the government is on the hook, is just simply crazy.
We've got to stop that, and we got to get the marketplace back to where if you take a risk, you have to take it with your own money, and if you fail, you fail.
And this is the essence of what your listeners are all about. Small businesses, capitalism. We, you know, banks charge interest because there is risk. I exist in the workout business because there is risk. Because where there is risk, there is inevitably failure, but you learn from failure. And if you are protected from failure, there are no lessons to be learned.
And is the Volcker Act, or the Volcker Rule, I guess I should say, which is part of the Dodd-Frank bill, an extension of the Dodd-Frank bill, as I understand it, the Volcker Rule is basically putting Glass-Steagall teeth back into the law, right?
It's a good rule. It is a poor man's Glass-Steagall. It is not as widespread as Glass-Steagall was in the 30s. I wish they put Glass-Steagall back, but it's a good start. The next thing we have to do is make sure that nobody is too big to fail, whatever it takes to make sure.
How do we do that, Bill? How do we do that?
Well, you know, people are talking about breaking up the banks. I don't think that is necessary. I think what you do is you basically put a system of structures in place like we have in the bankruptcy code, where Lehman Brothers failed and there was a shock to the industry. But here we are coming up 6 years later, and Lehman Brothers is going to pay its creditors something like 75 cents on the dollar.
Right.
So, you know,
That ain't too bad.
It took a while. There is a process, but it does work.
Well, and Bill, here's the thing. I tracked this. In 2007, or maybe it's 2007, I guess it was, the compensation of the major banks was $120 billion. It dropped to 110 in 2009. In 2011, when the rest of us were still struggling and many, many, many small businesses went under and families losing their houses and et cetera, the compensation was back up to $130+ billion a year on Wall Street.
There is no doubt that it's a nice place to work, and there are no consequences, apparently.
But now you see. But I'll tell you something: the conflict, the cross purposes between Wall Street and Main Street is something I've been talking about for a long time, and we have to do something about it. And I appreciate Bill Brandt for bringing us that excellent report. Stay with us; we'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.